We started John, and Brother Cox, he's a former pastor, he's actually in somewhere up north of here, just a little bit, not very far, maybe Decatur or somewhere. Today, he's been at a conference all week. Last week, when we started the book of John and began to talk about Jesus creating everything, everything from the infinitely huge to the infinitely small, and not bound in what we call time and how we're contained. Brother Cox asked me when I got done, he said, have you ever seen Rob Bell's video? And I said, no, I hadn't. And so Sunday night he brought it to me, and I took it home, and it sat around there till about Wednesday, and I thought, I'm going to see the Cox Wednesday night at church. I better at least plug it in and look at it. And I put this video in, and for an hour and 20 minutes, I couldn't get up. It was that compelling. It was very, very educational. I don't want to use the word entertaining, but it was so educational. I'd like to just show you the video, but I can't do that. This guy's pretty brilliant. He's a minister. I think his church is in California. I'm going to just glaze over a few of the things that he said because, again, he talks a lot about quantum physics and things like that. I'm not here to teach you quantum physics. We all understand that that's something that goes on. But everything is spiritual. I mean, we talk about when we begin to read in the Bible about there's certain applications to the Scriptures, but there's layers. Yes, it means that. Yes, it means that. Lift another layer, yes, it means that. And there are different layers in it. But absolutely everything is spiritual. And he took us to the book of Genesis and creation week and just showed some things. God said the evening and the morning was the day. Was the day, right? Every time he gets done, and the evening and the morning was the day. The evening would be darkness. And we always come into the light. We always, everybody got up this morning and said, whoo, brand new day to start.
Amen.
Right? But the day didn't start when the sun came up.
Right.
We came out of darkness into the light. Is that good?
Yeah.
Isn't that good? It's different layers and things that we can take out of the Bible. But this video that I watched, he talked about creation and what we talked about last week and how God did the different days of creation. And I read to y'all that God, Elohim, which is a plural name for God, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Just as I'm not going to teach you quantum physics, I'm not going to teach you the Trinity. Brother Shepherd will when I'm out one week. But it's a plural God creating, which is a singular verb. So this Godhead created, okay? Scientists have figured out that they decided that they found out what an atom was. And then they said, man, if we could just split an atom and figure it out, well, they split an atom. And then they decided, wow, they could split another atom. And there was no end to it. And now they have what's called quarks, where it's split atom after atom. I mean, it just continues to go down and down and down and down. They have found that there's some part of these quarks that can appear in one place, disappear, and reappear somewhere else. Kind of the old Star Wars or Star Trek deal. That's the quantum leap and stuff. That's the science of it, okay? They can't understand it, but they see it happening, okay? We always try and explain spiritual things. We've all gotten to that situation where we try and explain something spiritual. You know, that, man, that was just of God. But if you can't put it in a beaker and put it over a Bunsen burner and take it into a lab and figure it out, we're all a bunch of lunatics, right? Well, that's not so. You can't show or prove any of that. So after we pray, John chapter 1. Lord, I thank you again for the time that we're here. Father, I pray for those who are out today, and Lord, that you'd just give them safety as they travel and return back. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd teach this message, and Lord, that we would, Lord, fortify our hearts. Lord, that we would see that, Lord, our finite human minds, Lord, just can't reach to where you are. And Lord, we ask that, Father, we read your word, you bless it. Lord, again, that we would be able to apply it in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Now, I'm going to try and draw some stuff on here, and Brother Armstrong's going to try and put it up there. I'm not sure how it's going to show up, but we're going to try and do some of this stuff. We're also on a delay up there, just a little bit. It's like being at Texas Stadium, isn't it? Kind of. So they say that the universe, again, the universe is to the earth as the earth is to an atom. If that helps you any. The size of an atom compared to the earth is the earth compared to the size of the universe. Wow. He created all things, okay? Everything that was created, He created. Now, there's certain shapes, okay? There's rectangles. Let's see if I can make this a little broader. There's rectangles. And they're circles, right? So, if there's shapes, and there's different dimensions of that, then would this marker be a rectangle? Come on, some of you students, would that be a rectangle? See the shape, right? It would be a rectangle, wouldn't it? Or would it?
Depends on how you hold it.
Would it? It could be either, or maybe it's both, right? Depending on what dimension you're looking at, right? Because if you're looking at it from this angle, it's a rectangle. If you're looking at it from this angle, it's a circle. But we understand that it's both, right? Because we have another dimension. We can turn it and spin it and look at it, okay? Make sense to you?
Amen.
It can either be faith, or science, or maybe it's both. Depending on how you look at it, right? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's us that aren't quite there up to speed. We have different dimensions, okay? We have height and width and depth. We also have velocity. Scientists think that there's probably 11 different dimensions, quite possibly 13 different dimensions. That's quantum physics. I'm not going there with you. I looked it up on the internet, and they said, here's the other 7, M1, M2, M3, and they listed all 7. I don't know what those are. But you know, Einstein decided that he wanted to make a mathematical equation of everything in the universe. So he said E equals MC squared. Right? That was his theory of relativity. That he came back and said, wait a minute. That doesn't work when you put speed in there. He had to rework it because there's another dimension. There's another dimension. There's another dimension. We're not sure we got all the dimensions yet. All they do know is that the universe is some relationship of energy. Something is making it work and something is keeping it together. We understand what that is, right?
Amen.
But again, we can't put it in a beaker and heat it up, all right? So with this in mind, I want to talk about this one place. I thought this was really, really neat because it kind of says where we're at. Let's take this place called Flatland. And all it has is height and width, right? There's no depth to it at all. So you got two people here in Flatland. Okay? They're standing here. They have no perception of any kind of depth at all. Now keep this in mind when we're trying to argue feelings. Right? Anybody ever felt the presence of God? Argue it. You can't. You're a lunatic, right? So, in Flatland, there's only two dimensions. We're going to keep this in a scientific way of looking at it, okay? So let's say that these two are standing here, and I take a third dimension. I take my ring, and I just push it right through their flat land. It's going to appear as a dot first, when it first touches it, right? Then as it begins to push through, it's going to appear as a line. Then as it punches on through, it's going to be a line apart, right? Then it's going to get a little further apart. And then it's going to begin to come back together. And then it's going to be a line again. And then it's going to go away as a dot. Everybody understand that? As it goes through, it would separate and then come back together. This guy over here says, "What was that?" The other one says, "I don't know." This guy says, "It was a dot, and then it was a dash, and then two dashes apart, and then they begin to come back together, and then a dash again, and then a dot." The other one says, "No, I think it was more than that." But the one says, No, I'm sure it was a dot, it was a dash, they separated, they came back together, a dash and a dot. And the one says, "No, I think it was a ring." The one says, "What's a ring? Have you ever saw a ring? Anybody ever saw a ring?" This one says, "All we have to go off of is it was a dot, a dash, two dashes and a dot, back together." But in reality, who was right? This guy with no proof was 100% correct, right? Look at it another way. What if I just took their little world and really messed with them and just took my hand and shoved it right through their little world? It would appear as a dot, 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 dot. But they would be arriving at different times because of the length of my fingers. Then they would begin to get bigger. And then I would pull it right back out. One guy over here would say, "Man, what was that? You know, it was a dot, and then here come another dot, and then the first dot got a little bigger, and then here come another dot." The other one says, "No, I think it was something more than that." The other one would say, "Wait a minute, I think they were all connected." The other guy said, "No, they showed up at different times. They were different sizes. There's nothing to show that they were connected." But this guy over here said, "No, I've just got a feeling that it could have been the hand of God." He has no proof, but he's 100% right. Because this guy has no proof, he washes it off to just what he can show. Right? That's what he does. What about the one we all know about? What if I just took my hand and put it right up next to them here? I didn't penetrate their realm. I didn't penetrate their dimensions. But I got right up real close. This guy over here says, "Man, do you feel that?" And the guy says, "Well, no, I don't feel anything." "Well, don't you feel that? Don't you feel that closeness to you? There's something there. Anybody ever been standing around feel like somebody's watching you? Huh? This guy says, no, I think you're crazy. This guy over here says, no, I feel something. I feel the presence of God.
Amen.
This guy has no proof, so he writes it off that this guy's a religious lunatic. But who was right? This guy with no proof was still right because they didn't have the dimensions. And we talked about it last week that we're bound in the dimension of time. And everybody will tell you when you talk to them, what's eternity? Well, it's forever and ever and ever. But that's only half of eternity because it goes that way equally as well. But we can only relate to it as it is in our time. So because we can only relate to it of what it is for us, if we can't explain it in our dimension, then it can't be so. Making sense? But see, there's other dimensions out there. Like I said, there's 11 known dimensions, but there could be even more than that. Yet, our humanistic mind says, no. If you can't make it work out with a mathematical problem, it can't be so. And that's not necessarily true. I asked you before, is this a rectangle or a circle? If you've got another dimension where you can move around it and see, if you're not bound by this dimension, then it becomes both. God's not bound by any of this. We have really no understanding of it whatsoever. If it won't work in a lab or some tests, then you can't explain feelings. You can't explain that. I just can't explain it to you, but God was in this. You know, this was of God. The ring deal that I talked about is three-dimensional. Now, I've always been about 6 years, at my best guesstimation, I've been about 6 years before my time on some of my thoughts and stuff. With my business and stuff, I've always been out there just far enough that somebody else comes along and makes all the money off of something that I thought of 6 years ago. Several years ago, we were doing some film work, and we brought some guys in that were filming in 3D. This has been 15 years ago. They were filming in 3D. And the way 3D works is they shoot with two cameras. Not just one camera, which is one-dimensional, but they shoot with the two. It's the same way our eyes work. If you put your hand up right here, you can see around on this side of my hand or on this side of my hand. But if you did it with one eye, you can't do that. So three-dimensional gives you those looks. It gives you depth. It gives you another dimension. That's what we're at. We know that we have at least four dimensions that we live in. Height, width, depth, and velocity is another one. We are actually spinning around at a great rate of speed right now. Everybody know that? Sometimes I know some of y'all do because you kind of do this. I'm not sure if that's just the age we're getting or what, but sometimes you kind of catch yourself and they're spinning, okay. So there's definitely dimensions that we don't equate to that would give a different meaning. This guy over here says, can't be so. This guy here is definitively sure that there's something more. He just knows there's something more. But because this guy can't explain it, he can't yield to that. Therefore, he ends up being the one that's wrong. The other guy was 100% right. We knew because we were in a different dimension. Make sense? Look in Genesis chapter 1. I'm going through John at the rate of speed we're going to go through John. We've gotten three verses done. Not yet. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, John started off his epistle the exact same way. He said, "In the beginning." John wanted to make sure that he started his back where it all started. See, Matthew, Mark, and Luke gave us the renditions of Jesus as a babe in a manger, his conception, his childhood. John says, hang on, before all that happened, he's always been here. See, John pictures him as God. In the beginning, the Word was with God. Now, Moses starts out here and says, in the beginning, in our beginning, not when God began, but in our beginning. Who is he dealing with here? He's dealing with us, right? So, in the beginning, this is our beginning. This isn't when eternity started. This is when we started the clock. God started human clock, okay? So God, when God went to Moses and said, I want you to go to Egypt and get my people out. Here's Moses. He's in the land of Midian. He's just shepherding right now. God comes to him and he says, I want you to go stand up on your hind legs and go to the most powerful man in the world and tell him that I want half of your population and half of your wealth, and we're leaving. Moses said, I don't speak well. God, don't send me. So finally he says, well, God, if I go and do that, just who do I tell him told me to come do it? God said, you tell him I am told you. We talked about this last week. God said, I am. Nobody can say that but God. So here's God in no shape or form. You can't put God in a shape or a form. God's a spirit, right? So God's a spirit. And he has no time. There's nothing that contains him, okay? We're contained in dimensions, time, space, and matter. Everybody with me? We're contained in that. God's not contained in any of that. It says here that verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we have God saying, I am a spirit, and he acts. He moves upon the face of the water, and there begins to be shape. First, he creates there's light and darkness. I apologize for y'all not getting to see all this, but it's really cool. There's light and darkness. Then we begin to have certain shapes. Those shapes would be land and water. Then he began to create the land and sea, but he began to create the trees, and then the trees yielded fruit, and those fruit yielded seeds. And each one of these things becomes more and more complex. First we have light and darkness, not real complex. Then the land and the sea, there begins to be some complexity to it. Then trees, which yielded fruit. They did something. They began to procreate themselves into fruit. And then even more complex was in that fruit was seed, which is very complex. When you can take something like a mustard seed that you couldn't see if I was holding it up, to make a huge mustard tree. That's complexity. That something that small would take human birth. My word. Something so complex that it begins to have boundaries and shape, and it begins to get more and more complex. It has shapes. So you have something without shape making shapes. You have God who's not within a shape acting. He acts and then he creates. God creates. And once he creates, again the complexity keeps coming down, down, down. He breathes. And we are here. Mankind. So God breathes into dust. That's pretty complex. Now, you've got a bunch of physical things. All this is physical things. They'll have shapes and things that are with them. They're all physical. This is all spiritual. Right? No shapes. So what we have is these are all purely physical, right? They're only physical. These are only purely spiritual. There's no physique to them, okay? It's a spirit. There's no boundaries of God. But what's man? He's both. Man is both. Man is the only thing that is both. We're physical, yet we're spiritual. God breathed life. God who created breathed life into this physical object. None of these have that. We're the only thing that is like that. Heaven help us when we say, you know, my little old girl, she's such a great little angel. Man, what an insult. God didn't breathe life into the angels. He didn't do that. He didn't send His Son to die for the angels. Oh, she's such a little angel. Man, what an insult. Man, what a little babe that God breathed life into, that He gave His Son for. Hallelujah. Now, because we can't explain any of this, it can't be so. Right? Because we're not in that dimension. Everything is either physical or spiritual, right? Everything but us. And we're both. When somebody says, well, I'm just not into spiritual things. Too late. Right? God breathed life into you. You're too late for that. Oh, I'm just not into that spiritual stuff. Yeah, you are. Because we're the only ones with a soul. And your soul liveth forever. That's why the Bible says everything that you do in word or deed, spiritual, physical, everything that you do needs to be to the glory of God.
Amen.
Make sense? Everything that we do. I thought this was fascinating. The Bible, which is pretty well mostly in the Hebrew language, there is no word for spiritual. It's not even a question. That if you said, are y'all into spiritual? They wouldn't understand it because there's no word for spiritual. I've taught y'all before, there is no such thing as prehistoric anything. There's no prehistoric animals. There's no prehistoric man. The word history is his story. There is nothing pre his story. can't be. If you're a human being breathing in the oxygen that God gives you, you're spiritual. Now, you may choose to push that spirituality down, but you're still spiritual. You're still going to answer for that spirituality. However you dealt with it. Nothing, absolutely nothing else is like man. Nothing. We're given the breath of God. We're spiritual and physical. Everything else is either or. Isn't that wonderful? You know, instead of saying, well, I can't explain it, therefore, no. Praise God. Isn't that neat? You know, when they come up with things and you go, man, they've decided that they found out that everything in the universe is contained by some type of energy. Wow. I know who that is. Right? I know who that is. The one thing that I think we really need to be careful of is that as a church, that we don't lock God into there. I'm going to church today because I'm going to go meet God. We pray that God's with us today in church, right? And one thing we end up doing by mistake is we say, well, God's in here. Oh, that church down there on the corner, they're doing this. God can't be in there. Be careful. Better be careful. Well, we're the only ones right. Are we? Are we? Be careful that we don't encapsulate God into, well, this is God's house. This is where God's at. I get out there in my car and I turn off the road and I get past those trees over there. God can't see me. I told y'all before when I used to teach the youth, it's not hard at all not to cuss in here. It's really not. Some people do. It slips, you know. But it's not really difficult in here. It gets a little bit edgy when you get to the parking lot. But when you get out there on that road and you get at lunch or you get to work tomorrow, and God's not there because we left God at His house. Right? We better be careful about that. The church is a bunch of people that are bound together by the love of God. And they're seeing past each other to the needs of those out and around where God actually is. That's what we need to be aware of. It's a group of people bounded together that see beyond what we're doing right here. All these missionaries show that. We understand that we're going beyond this brick and mortar, right? We're going past that. And it's evident by when we come in, again, by faith, we raise our hand and offer up prayers. And I'll tell you again that Donna doesn't know Scott. Scott doesn't know Donna, but they'll both raise their hand. Scott, pray for me. Donna, pray for Scott. They'll do that because we have that bond. Amen. That's what we are, is a bunch of people that go beyond ourselves. Hey, we come in here and we have needs, but I guarantee you there's people in here that have more needs than we do. I always tell Kevin Davis, which they're in the Bahamas or somewhere right now, so don't worry about them. I said, I always come and find you first because I always feel better once I talk to Kevin. He got more problems than anybody needs to deal with. You know, and you just go up and go, man, how's it going? Well, I feel good. Man, I feel good. You know, go talk to Scott one morning. You'll just feel invigorated. So John says, go back over to John. John says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness didn't understand it, didn't understand that light. I love verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. But he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. What a testimony. He had to clarify that John the Baptist wasn't the light. They thought he was by his lifestyle. They looked at him and said, is that the Messiah? Is that the promised one sent? What'd John tell them? I'm not even worthy enough to unlatch his shoes. He knew his place. But you know what? What a testimony of John that they would have to declare that, hey, he's not that light, but he come to bear witness of that light. Let me tell you what our responsibility is. Our responsibility is to bear witness of that light. Our responsibility isn't to be determined that we're not that light, but we're supposed to bear witness of that light. That's our duty here. We talk about the sun and the moon. I've told y'all this before, that all the moon is a reflection of the sun. That's all it does, is reflect. Now, it does some other things. We find out that it deals with the circle of our earth and affects the ocean waves. And I mean, it does a lot of things. And depending on where it is, whether it's a full moon or a half moon or a quarter moon, and you understand what that is. When we look up, I looked up night before last, and it was a little smiley face. You know, it was just the bottom of it showing through. I thought about the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, where he appears and disappears. But it was just a smiley face. You understand what that is? Is that the earth getting in the way of the reflection, right? Be careful tomorrow at work that the world don't get in the way of your reflection of the sun. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the time that we could spend. And Lord, I pray that we just take this and, Lord, that we apply it to our lives. And Lord, again, we thank you for, Lord, just, Lord, your mind. Lord, it's nowhere near what we are. And Lord, help us to get the understanding that you'd have us to have. Lord, be with our service to follow. Lord, be with our pastor. Lord, give him his health back, that he'd be able to return to us. In Christ's name, amen.